Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jason Longshore joins us, guys, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, brought to you by Heineken. Great taste, zero alcohol. And, Jason, it's good to have you back on the show. It seems like it's been forever, although we talk to you pretty much every week. But now that Atlanta United is getting back on the pitch, we got a lot of questions, my friend. First and foremost, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm with you on the orange golf balls. I like the Volvic, actually.
Nice. Okay. Again, man, that's why I miss the old – I mean, am I the only guy that misses the old Sports Authority? Aside from the fact that no one was ever there to help you, and then you could
they had great deals though,
right? Because they always mispriced the stuff. It was great. Jason, let's talk about this team and getting Pity Martinez in action. We talked to Brad Guzan yesterday, and the thing was, and even Brad knows, everybody on this team seemingly is tired of answering the same questions they're getting asked. Where's the offense? Where's the juice? We know we're, and we'll talk about the defense and the injuries. But is this the weekend where we do see some uptick in the scoring?
Needs to be. This is an interesting opponent in the New England Revolution because they're a team that likes to press. They like to play very physical style, but they don't do it in as organized of a way as you think of. When you think of pressing teams in Major League Soccer, we're generally thinking about the New York Red Bulls. Right. The Revolution are not as structured in their press. They're very aggressive. They're going to commit numbers forward, but Leandro Gonzalez Pires talked about it yesterday. That actually can help Atlanta United because they are disorganized. It is kind of a disjointed effort from New England, and you can get in behind that because they're throwing so many bodies forward.
Jason Longshore joining us here to talk about Atlanta United, New England Revolution over the weekend. Okay, are we going to score? I mean, are we going to have – listen, we've been possessing the ball. And it's funny because I was talking to a soccer buddy of mine, and he was like, you know, the blank with this possessing. We're possessing the ball, but we're not scoring. Are we going to score more?
Have to get in behind the back line, and that's the difference. You can have possession if it's possession with eight defenders between the ball and the goal. It's meaningless possession. If you're creating more chances, and you go back through the last few matches this team played, and I'm with you guys, it feels like it's been forever, they created more chances in each game. The chances were getting better in each game. Now, you wish you didn't have a two-week break, but hopefully this team has been able to take advantage of it. And I think this is the type of match where a guy like Ezequiel Barco becomes very key because one thing that Barco's always had in his game is the ability to kind of feel out the rhythm of it. And against the New England team that constantly wants to play at one speed as fast as possible, when Barco is able to make those decisions at getting his head up, seeing that, hey, they've got defenders out of position, we're putting the foot on the gas and going, or, okay, they've recovered. Now it's time to hold up and keep that possession and draw them out.
Jason Longshore joins us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. He and Mike Conte will have the call this weekend on 92.9 The Game. Remember, you can always go to 92.9thegame.com or go to radio.com. You can sync it up with the TV broadcast. I prefer to listen to our guys who really know our team than the national coverage against the Revolution. The defense, banged up. You know, Escobar, they say he's healthy. I know that we're going to miss out on Mikey Ambrose. So I guess that means a little bit more of Breck Shea. What's it going to look like on the back line?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be Breck Shea on the left side. Bello's not ready to go just yet. He is training off of the side, and there's some hope that he'll be available for next week back at home. But no Mikey Ambrose on the left. That means Breck Shea is the strongest possibility. You could always get a little creative. Michael Parkhurst has been working as an outside back. We've seen him in fits on the left side. He can play there a little bit. Franco Escobar on the right side. Frank DeBoer said he's ready to go. Didn't have any real hesitation about it yesterday. Can he give you 90 minutes is maybe the bigger question here. If he can get you midway through the second half, I think you have to start him with what he brings to the table.
Jason, we talked a lot about us. What are you expecting from New England? And tell us more about what to expect from them this weekend.
New England's a team that doesn't really have much of an identity in the way that they attack. Everything is based off work rate, off effort, and just making the game frantic. So they want to press you. They want to chase you. One thing they do very well is they use the touch lines and they use the end line to their advantage. So they want to push your possession up against the sideline, up against your end line, and they want to make you make mistakes in possession. Atlanta has to be very secure in their passing game. They can't have the mistakes out of the back that we saw early in Columbus that cost them. They have to also know that, hey, New England's going to throw a lot of bodies forward. Right. Sometimes the best way to deal with that, play over the top and play direct.
Well, that's something we've been asking for. I know I've asked you from back when we first got into the season about going over the top. It's maybe something that Frank DeBoer isn't as comfortable with. Here's the thing. You know, I know, Jason, we've all tried to keep the big picture mentality of, okay, well, we got the, you know, we got the international break, and then, of course, we got New England. But everybody's kind of pointed to this game up in Foxborough as a big one. If we come out and we're flat again and we're not scoring goals, I mean, the Frank DeBoer stuff is going to really heat up. There's no way it can't.
No, 100%. I mean, you're dead on. That's where you're at right now because of the results you've had and the conversation that has been out there about all of this. If you don't get a result or at a minimum just look very good in this one, the conversation's going to heat up because you have back-to-back games at home. This stretch of three, I think if you get off to the right kind of start and you take care of a team that, honestly, the matchup really plays strongly for Atlanta. You like to play against a team that is overly aggressive because Atlanta's quality should show through in that. They should be able to deal with that. If they don't, it's a complicated match next weekend.
We had Brad Guzan on yesterday on the program. Are you concerned at all at the goals we've been conceding? Is it more on Brad or is it more on the back line and us being better there?
It's more on individual mistakes than anything. I think the defense has not been as bad as I think, you know, maybe some of the talk has been around it. Let's take the Columbus match, for example. You know, it was an individual mistake two different times on Julian Gressel just letting a man free in the attacking half. The goal against Philadelphia, it's an individual mistake with a turnover in your own half. It's more of those situations. Now, switching to four in the back, there is a little bit of, all right, this is a different system. That's what we saw in Columbus. You saw the mistakes. Was it because of the change? You've had 2 weeks now to work on it. Yes, it's training. It's not matches. But those mistakes, they're not acceptable anymore.
Jason Longshore is with us, guys. We're live from Oconee Brewing Company, guys, introducing our 16-ounce pounders of Dukes of Bell. Hey, man, yeah, we're going to be here till 7, live music at the Pavilion. Good time. Plenty of goodies, and we got giveaways, got a putting contest. But Jason's getting us ready for the revolution as we finally get back in action for Atlanta United. So bringing it back to what you said earlier, Pity Martinez, we've all seen the highlights. We know what he can do. Is his success really based on Barco getting him the ball, or has Frank DeBoer come up with a magical plan to get him in space to do the things we saw in the highlight reel?
You're dead on. It's getting him in space, and that's what you want. And that's why I think a lot of the talk about Pity Martinez has to play centrally. He has to play, you know, with Joseph Martinez or right underneath him. I disagree. I actually think he's better out wide on the left in space. And it's not just Barco getting him dangerous opportunities. I think a lot of it is creating those opportunities on the right side, on the opposite side from Pity Martinez, drawing the defense there. And then when you do give it to Pity, he's 1v1. What you want Pity Martinez to have in front of him is one defender, maybe two. He has the chance to dribble at them and make a decision on pass, shoot, keep dribbling. That's how he thrives. You want to give him those opportunities? He's not going to find as many of them centrally where it's crowded.
How you feeling, man? How you feeling about this thing?
I like it. The thing that I'm concerned about with New England is just – they're at home. Their backs are against the wall, too. And they've got a manager in Brad Friedel who has, in recent weeks, questioned their, you know, professionalism in some ways. He made 6 changes to the lineup a couple weeks ago after saying that he didn't get the effort he wanted out of this group. And it's paid off. He got a win against Minnesota. They looked pretty good against Columbus last week, although they lost 1-0. They're not creating a lot from the run of play. Right. The thing that they give Atlanta is they get out of position very easily. Position and the shape for New England is secondary to that work rate, that effort, and that can create opportunities for Atlanta's attack that, honestly, you think back to the opponents Atlanta's played this season, they haven't had anybody that will approach them in the way that New England does.
You know, we just want to see some offense. I know we've always been arguing about, hey, get back to that 2017, 2018 Atlanta United. We get it. You know, Miggy's over there in Newcastle, and he's really been a stirring the drink over there. you know, Tito's a guy we'd love to see. Some would love to see him start and, as opposed to coming off the bench. You've already laid out what Barco means and as far as this. But is Joseph Martinez got to be sitting there at some point, Jason, getting really frustrated? Here I am, the reigning MVP, and you guys can't get me the ball to create.
He's not getting the touches in the spots that you want him to get them. He's actually getting more touches per game. He's taking more shots per game than he did previously. Most of his work in 2017 and 2018 was inside the 18-yard box. Now you're seeing him get involved in the buildup. He's getting more involved, but you want his touches. You want those chances in the 18. You're not getting them consistently. Now, I don't know if Tito Villalba on the right side gives you that. Pitty Martinez, a little bit different kind of player. You want Barco on the ball more centrally, but you do need to figure out, think back to how many assists Julian Gressel had from the right side. Now, a lot of those were from a right wing back role, and if you're playing four in the back, that role's not the same. You're not going to play him as a right back. Do you play him on the right wing, or do you play him centrally with Barco and get his creativity into the mix as well? Because he has a great connection with Joseph.
Key to the match this weekend, what do we have to do?
Score early. No turnovers in the back. Don't make it easy for New England. They're really good at starting their possessions in your defensive third. Don't give them that opportunity. Don't play with it in the back. And get off to a good start. You just can't afford to have what happened in Columbus. Not with all of the talk around this team right now. You need something positive in the first 15 minutes, whether it's riding out the storm, whether it's breaking their pressure a couple times. But you need something positive. Don't go behind early.
Jason, great job as always. Jason Longshore, brought to you by Heineken, guys. Great taste, zero alcohol. Hey, man, appreciate you. We'll be listening right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game over the weekend. Have a great call.
Appreciate it, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.